This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, what a weekend it was. Listen, I don't know about you. I don't know if you enjoy golf or not. All I can tell you is, if you were like most of my friends and most of the people around the country, you found yourself watching Sunday at the Masters and watching arguably the most dramatic finish we've seen in a very long time. Rory McIlroy is a champion, but boy, did it take a lot for him to get there. And Mike, we talked about this when we were out there Wednesday and the electric atmosphere that was building as people were coming into Augusta. And then Thursday, the first round, you're like, hey, Rory's playing well. He's in this. And then he's not. And then Friday, he's incredible. And Saturday, moving day, was unbelievable. But does it get any better than what we saw yesterday at the Masters in Augusta? I don't think so.
And that's why you love sports. You never know the outcome. And this is one of those where, like, everybody's been there. You know, the choke moment, the free throw you missed in high school to send you to state. You know, that 3-foot putt you missed with your boys, you know, when you're playing, like, you know, 10 bucks a hole, wherever. But this is one where when he bogeys 18 to finish regulation, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And you're really starting to think, man, this dude is just never going to get this green jacket. Justin Rose, all of a sudden, you know, he kept his ish together, certainly regrouped in the back nine. DeChambeau was just, by the way, I don't know how this plays in 2025. I laughed out loud today when I heard all this. DeChambeau said, Rory didn't speak with him. Well, hell no, he's not going to. He don't like you. He doesn't like live golf, and he doesn't have to. Tiger wasn't exactly chatty Cathy unless he was friends with you. And even then, he wasn't going to talk. Ben Hogan talked to nobody. So I thought that was kind of funny. Like, what do you want, Bryson? Would it have helped had he chatted? Would you have not have gacked it on the back nine?
A few years ago, when Tony Finau was playing in the final group with Tiger Woods, Tony told a story about Tiger. This is the 19 Masters he won. And Tony Finau said, you know, man, I'm playing with Tiger in the final round. This is unbelievable. And, like, they tee off and, you know, that walking down with the caddies. And we don't get – the microphones are not there. We don't get to hear those conversations. And literally Tony Finau is like, hey, so Tiger, you know, because they're friends away from the course. Hey, how's the family, man? How's everybody doing? And he went – Tiger went, fine. And didn't speak the rest of the way. And Tony Finau said, at that point, I realized this is business. And, of course, Tiger won that Masters. Mike, I totally agree with you. Once we shake hands at the tee box – it's on. Like, I've got to do what I need to do. The thing about Rory was, yesterday, he gave us, the fans that were rooting for Rory, I wanted to see the Grand Slam, okay? I love to see history. I love to see greatness. But what he did to us was he gave us every reason to believe that he wasn't going to do it because he kept messing up. He kept blowing opportunities. Lead by two, fell behind by two. Led by five at one point. And then a three-way tie. Mike mentions the putt at 18. You're just like, you keep giving us reasons that you're not going to get this done. And Mike, that was the biggest thing he had to overcome. Because coming into this, how much did we talk about the non-belief that Rory mentally would be able to put himself in this position?
Right, and to have four double bogeys and still find a way to win at the Masters, knowing how difficult it's going to be. And look, I like Rory. I got nothing against the guy. And I think it's kind of cool that, you know, he was one of those voices that when the LIV Golf thing said, hey, man, I'm a PGA guy. All right, you got my back, right? And the PGA's like, oh, meanwhile, we're talking to Liv right now behind his back. So he's had a very tumultuous, you know, 11 years between championships. We talked about his personal life, some of the things which well documented when you're one of the famous golfers in the world. But the pressure. Now, I guess the question everyone wants to know is, you finally got this one off your back. Do the wins come back in bunches? You know, because guys go through some kind of career lulls. That's what I'm curious to see. Is he going to be in contention the rest of the three majors this year?
Pressure's off. He's going into the Golf Hall of Fame. He's one of the all-time greats now. He's done something that, you know, only five other guys had done at this point in capturing the Grand Slam. But it's a great question, Mike. And as far as does he win another major this year, I don't know. Sometimes you put everything you have into something like this. You hear all of his friends on tour, and they're talking about this is all Rory discussed. Man, I got to win a Masters. Oh, I hope I'm in contention. I really hope I'm on, you know, Sunday final round. This is all they said he talked about. So, Mike, I actually think it's almost like,
right.
And I'm saying he's going to let his guard down, but, dude, it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't win again this year because this was the one that he absolutely had to win. Want to know what you guys think? 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, find us on social media. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. We got a lot to get to, guys. Hawks back in the play-in. We'll certainly get to that. We are counting down to the NFL draft. And I don't know if the Braves are going to be able to fix these problems, Mike.
Yeah, this is one where now you got a sample size, you know, a couple of weeks. And down there in Tampa, I mean, the cool thing was, I mean, it was kind of neat to see that access we talked about. If you're lucky enough to get down there and get a cheap ticket, it's kind of a great venue because, you know, you're right, it's a minor league facility. But, man, they're playing like a minor league team. You know, two of those three, I thought, you know, and for what, I don't know what's up with Chris Sale. Chris Sale is not even close to the pitcher he was. Hopefully they can fix it. But Chris Sale's a guy, when things are going tough, hey, we're going to take two out of three from the Rays, and Chris Sale doesn't have his A game. You know, the game they lost on Friday, they had a bunch of guys left on base again. So, you know, you're not stealing bases, too. I talked about that. Remember we asked Grant about it with Money Harris. You miss Acuna. I don't know if you can just, you know, are you going to still be, what, 8-9 games under 500 by the time Acuna gets here? We're going to see Strider this week, it looks like.
That's the good news. Strider is coming, all right? I almost feel like playing the Superman music because, boy, we need him.
Right.
But we're 1-9 on the road, guys. I mean, we won four games. Like, this is not what anybody expected. So, yeah, we will definitely dive in and discuss. And, Mike, you're right. The one guy, the stopper, ain't stopping nobody right now. He's got a 6 ERA in Chris Sale. He's 0-2. And, again, that's just a reflection of us not scoring runs. But yesterday it was like, okay, shut him down, Chris. And he's got control issues. He's here. He's there. And I love Snit. But Snit's like, yeah, you know, I mean, he battled. Snit, he was terrible. He was bad yesterday, and he didn't help us when it comes to, I got the ball. The one thing in baseball is your starting pitcher goes, I got this. And if he's able, and Chris Sale has shown us, Mike, he can shut a team down. Boy, that one hurt yesterday, and you go, all right, we won on Saturday. Well, that feels good. And we can't find a way to win series, man.
And there's nothing you can do but handle it.
Okay.
Got to handle it. Okay. Yeah, I mean, then you get to the point like, okay, you've invested in this team. Now, some of these investments are bargains. Obviously, Ozzie and Acuna when he gets back on the field. You know, Murph's actually done pretty well, all things considered. But, you know, this is your team, and you don't have any money, and you can't make any. As you guys know, I mean, the trade deadline is the trade deadline, and there's going to be no action until July. So, I mean, unless, you know, you can come up with something big, you really are banking on Ronald Acuna being a spark along with Strider. That's it.
Big time.
And Iglesias, you know, I don't like Iglesias as a closer because he doesn't have electric stuff. He makes it much more interesting than it should have been on Saturday night, gives up a big home run. So, I mean, you got no part of this team you feel confident about other than when Spencer Schwellenbach's on the bump.
And here comes Vlad Guerrero Jr., who, by the way, hasn't hit a home run yet. Guess what's going to happen?
Yeah, right?
He hadn't hit a home run yet this season. And that's a club that just spent a lot of money to sign him. They're good. We get no breaks, by the way. I mean, like, it used to be, oh, Mike, we're going to go play the Rays. This is the easiest. We get no breaks. So you're going to have to earn it, and we're going to have to find our way out of this hole. But right now, I seriously have my doubts that they're going to be able to do it until, as Mike said, those two guys are back and consistently in the lineup. And I'm talking about Acuna and certainly Strider coming back. But even Strider, Mike, okay, great. Once every fifth day. I mean, he's going to do his job, but are they going to score runs to support him?
Yeah, and you're hoping that he gives you some of that bounce. You know, we've talked so much about mojo, and again, I drive some of the listeners crazy, but I think a lot of guys get it. You need some juice. Who's the guy who's going to, hey, guys, let's come on, man, let's pick it up. You know, I mean, I don't know who freaking John Wayne is on this team. I don't know if that dude exists, but yeah, this is a crazy start. This is, you know, even the year they lost to Acuna, they didn't look this bad, right? Back in 21 before they went on the great run.
No doubt. All right, guys, plenty about the Braves as well. As we talk about, though, the Masters, which was an all-time great. And again, the shot Rory hits, Mike, that second shot that puts it within 4 feet for the winner, the birdie. I mean, you talk about pressure, guys. You could hit that shot 10 times, and, Mike, that ball doesn't go where it went. And I thought when you needed it, he hits a 314-yard drive, first of all. Then follows that up with that second shot on the playoff hole, and you're like, holy crap. Let's hear from Rory, guys, on his win and his approach in that playoff hole.
I think I had 2 yards less in the playoff than I did in regulation. It was a little bit of a flatter lie as well. So I knew I had a perfect, you know, a three-quarter gap wedge was going to land into the slope and come back. So it was a good number. I just needed to make a good committed swing. And, you know, I made one at the right time.
And the emotional reaction. You know, it's one thing when you see a tennis player might get their first major or something. I mean, but this was raw. This was real. This wasn't for effect. Because sometimes in sports now we see everybody hits their knees like, you know, in this case, I mean, look, it just felt legit, you know, with Rory. And then the reaction from, it was so cool. And one thing I did notice, and this gets back to the Ryder Cup, everybody's got his back. You see all the European guys sticking around to hang and dap him up. You don't see that with the Americans, do you?
Shane Lowry. I mean, hell, do you guys realize, and I know you
he's not even that good friends with Lowry. Yeah, Lowry stuck around.
You hardcore golfers may know this. Justin Rose's wife was there and hung out and gave Rory a big hug. Now, they've been friends for years, but the point is, Mike, you know, you're rooting for your husband. There's this competition that's going on, and she's like happy as hell for the guy that has been fighting these demons. Let's hear Rory talk about the emotion that Mike's mentioning on 18.
I would say it was 14 years in the making from, you know, going out with the 4-shot lead in 2011. You know, feeling like I could have got it done there. And yeah, there was a lot of pent up emotion that just came out on that 18th green. And a moment like that makes all the years and all the close calls worth it.
Yeah, I saw Justin Rose talking about those two bogeys on 14 and 17, which if he doesn't, you know, if it changes everything, then more pressure than is on Rory to deliver. So, yeah, look, it had everything you wanted. And Justin Rose is not as well known as Rory, but a sympathetic figure.
Yes.
Because he's been, you know, 12 years removed, or yeah, it's 13 years. It was 2012 that he won the U.S. Open. So, yeah, but I thought he showed some guts and some balls to get back in the mix because he did birdie 15, 16, and 18 to force the playoff.
I will say this because I am fully okay with my manhood. I was a little emotional. And I got emotional the last time was 2019 when Tiger won it, Mike, when nobody said he had a shot.
Right.
And to see Rory do that and then the follow-up. Guys, did you see of course you did if you watch. The walk to go turn in his scorecard. Like, that was an incredible moment. And the best part about it, credit to Jim Nance, they didn't say anything. They just let the moment play out. Like, they didn't jump in. It was awesome. And I'm happy for him. The worst shot of the day, and this is when I opened my big trap, Mike, and I said, ha, he's got this. 13, right?
Right.
Par 5, 13, 85 yards, and he hits it in the creek, like in the water. And you're like, are you serious right now? And I'm like, he is going to bless. That's when I started to really doubt if he had the mental fortitude.
Well, that's at my house. We posted some photos. We had a bunch of people from the neighborhood that are all golfers, and everybody was saying the same thing. Now you're playing not to lose. He basically, because again, he can be on there in two easily, but he plays conservative to Carl's point. He hits it into Race Creek. He hits it right off by about 10 yards.
Oh.
And you're sitting there, if you're going to lay up, you can't do that, you know? But he came back. Not 14, because he double bogeys and he bogeys. And you think, well, this is it. He's all over. But this is where DeChambeau could have really jumped on him. But DeChambeau, meanwhile, was going through his own mess.
By the way, what did you make of how that went yesterday? Now, listen, nobody talks about second place. He didn't even come in second. No. But starting the day where Rory really opens the door, right? And you go, uh-oh, here comes Bryson. And, Mike, we said this, and he said he wasn't 100%. I don't know what injury he's been dealing with, but he said afterwards he wasn't 100%. But he's spraying this thing and having to work out of trouble.
I mean, I don't know. What are you injured from? From constantly flexing your tricep? I mean, dude, you literally, every time he hits the ball, Captain Caveman. Then he goes out. Look, I know these guys don't do what we do. When we get done playing golf, we ice up and we drink a six-pack.
Yes.
But he's right back on the practice team. Maybe don't hit 1,000 shots. You know, after your round, maybe try to keep yourself fresh. I like DeChambeau, but yeah, the bogey on 3, bogey on 4, double on 11. Yeah, that's one where you're like, what are you doing? So that's where he just lost his composure and lost the tournament.
All right, coming up, daily downloads on the way. Did we learn anything from G-Day? About 35,000 folks attended. And our man Connor Riley from Dog Nation.
You mean the final GDAP? Sorry.
maybe. Connor Riley's going to stop by at 4 o'clock. But we'll talk about it as part of our daily download next. Capturing the Masters and crying. And a guy just said, this is me after bedtime every night. putting my two boys down under 5 years old, and he was walking as Rory's crying. It's Dukes and Bella, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. And we're talking a lot about the Masters because it was incredible. And we could see this. Mike and I have been watching a long time. Many of you golf fans and fringe fans have been watching a long time. We may not have a playoff for another 20 years. I mean, like you don't know how this thing's going to shake out. So right. To witness that and to know the pressure was on. And, Mike, I thought Justin Rose was hot. I thought he was feeling like – I was like, okay, this is another reason why you don't want to go to a playoff. Justin Rose finished with that 20-foot putt, and you're right. Like, oh. And then he immediately went to the range and started working.
Stay loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he's going to live with those two bogeys that we talked about at 14 and 17 that just kind of unfortunately – because, again, after that one, if you know, that bogey, that would have lost it. I mean, you think about where he could have been. If he doesn't have those two bogeys, then Rory doesn't make that shot. His final in regulation, of course, makes that amazing putt to win it, and the crowd goes bananas. I saw a meme where Rory basically, it's almost like that time that Flipper Anderson caught the touchdown for the Rams in the playoffs. He just kept going through the tunnel. So Rory's basically like shaking hands, and they have these memes where he's like shaking hands with the guy who's like, there's a gardener holding a rake, and a guy goes all the way out the door, and it's like he goes for fast food, and everything, he just keeps walking.
That's great.
But I mean, yeah, there was literally, you know, about 100. It just shows you who, you can always tell who. Okay, I get that. There's the marketing team. There's the agent.
Who are these people?
There's the business manager. Yeah. These are all the guys that you see at the tournaments.
Well, it was funny. You're right, because people are like, okay, how many people are like there for you at this point?
But team McIlroy.
Yeah, right. It really was. No, listen, he had everybody there. And, again, congratulations to Roy McIlroy. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, by the way, we will talk plenty about the Hawks coming up. They got the play-in game tomorrow night, Mike. They win. They're in. That's the good news. Bad news is...
you want a trip to Orlando. Yeah, I mean, so that's the thing with this. We got Orlando, and you and I have talked about it now. They didn't, this, unfortunately, I know Steve Cootey would say, don't say that, but it's too late. It was kind of a meaningless game to wrap up the season.
Oh, terrible.
And Paolo Banchero didn't play. Wagner didn't play for Orlando, so we didn't get their A game. You will get their A game, or you could argue, Carl, coming up tomorrow night. And those guys, and we said, they kind of give us trouble. If we lose, then we got to play the winner of the Heat and the Bulls. We split with the Bulls this year, 3-3. Remember, we were in that in-season tournament action this year with them. That was one of those. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't like playing the Heat either. You know, even though without Jimmy Buckets, I don't like what they did to us last time. And the way, you know, the times, you know, they just seemed like the Adebayo could get his. I don't know, man.
But listen, win tomorrow in Orlando, and you're in. Like, that's all that needs to happen.
And you've won a trip to take on the Boston Celtics.
But you're in the 7-game series, and yes, anything can happen. Look, if you're asking me how optimistic I am in a Celtics series, I would tell you they beat the Celtics without Trey this year. But the regular season, guys, is just different. It's just different. So,
and the Celtics, I mean, I don't know what – not a fan of their coach, but he does certainly redeem himself later this year because they put a real run on Cleveland. Yeah. And I thought for a minute that Cleveland was going to lose that number one spot. And now we've talked to a lot of NBA experts who are not sold that either Oklahoma City or Cleveland can hang on to that one spot just on how young the teams are.
No doubt. More on that coming up along the way. And we got to talk about the state of college football, and I'm talking about spring games. Everybody's talking about this story that hit with Tennessee on Friday, and then it played out over the weekend. Mike and I will get into that coming up as well. All right, Big O's behind the glass. Day-Day is producing the day. Let's get to the Daily Download. That green jacket fit pretty well, didn't it? Rory is proud of himself, proud of the moment. I don't know if he'll ever win another Masters. And this is the other thing, too. We take this for granted. Tiger's got 5, right? Mm-hmm. Jack's got a ton. When you win multiple Masters, Mike, then you start saying, okay, these are the elite guys. But he finally got the monkey off his back. Here's Rory.
It feels incredible. This is my 17th time here, and I started to wonder if it would ever be my time. And I think, you know, the last 10 years coming here with the burden of the Grand Slam on my shoulders and trying to achieve that, I'm sort of wondering what we're all going to talk about going into next year's Masters. But I'm just absolutely honored and thrilled and just so proud to be able to call myself a Masters champion.
Yeah, man, it was, as we said, you guys know the story, the career slam now, and he gets it. Now, what does he do? Does he get that pressure, which seems to be so internal, you can't win another major? Because it wasn't just the Masters, guys. He didn't win a major for 11 years, let alone the Masters. But yeah, Jack with 6, Tiger with 5, Arnold with 4, Sam Snead, Gary Player, Faldo, Phil with 3, Bubba's got 2, Scheffler's got 2. I mean, you're an elite company, man, and next year we'll see what he puts on the menu for his Rory dinner.
All right, let's get to story number 2.
Story number 2.
Well, it has to do with Kirby Smart and them dogs. G-Day, the spring game happened this weekend. It was Saturday. Kirby, what'd you think of the game?
I'm excited about the spring game. Got an opportunity to play a lot of guys today. Got a lot of snaps in, probably more than we typically do. And I like the pace that it went at. We got done right at 2 hours and ended up getting about 15 or 20 more snaps than we've gotten in past years. So it was good tempo. Some good and bad for both, but that's the way spring games go. We got to play some loose plays, throw the ball around, got to do some two-minute. Excited about the guys that got to play. We've got, you know, a lot of work to do in terms of off-season and getting ourselves where we need to be for next year. But
now, again, just a scrimmage, so you don't want to make too much into it, but it's something we spent a lot of time the last few weeks because it may go away for Georgia because a lot of coaches feel they can better use their time and don't want to do this in front of a big crowd or whatever the reasoning behind it. Puglisi and Stockton, I thought, were both good and bad from what I read and what I saw from Dog Nation. I thought looked great, if I'm honest.
So this is my question. Does that mean this quarterback thing is undecided?
Or do they go in the portal? There was an article in Dog. We'll talk to Connor about it later in the show. But
yes.
Do they feel that the guy can do it is there?
That to me is very interesting. Like, I think after a spring game, you want to definitively say, here our guy is. Here he is. Mm. I don't think he said that. And I don't think that was decided. But if you're wondering and you're keeping score, nobody was. Team Red defeated Team Black 34-17.
Somebody bet on it.
Kirby, yeah, right. Some degenerate. Kirby did say that they got a lot of snaps in, guys. A lot of passes. I will tell you that. They worked on the passing game. And then, of course, you know, as far as the other part in which the team can improve most on, this is Kirby Smart. Where can they improve?
Mental and physical toughness, I think, is one of the number one areas that we can get better at and grow, have more guys that can play winning football.
Now, Noah Thomas did get an AC sprain. He left the scrimmage yesterday, and that's another thing that a lot of coaches are saying, another chance these guys get hurt. But again, as we said, they just had a whole spring practice, you know, weeks of building up to this and out in bubble wrap. But a couple of guys got banged up. Cole Spear also had a drop, and he got hurt. And we mentioned Noah Thomas out with the AC sprain.
Mental and physical toughness is what Kirby says they need to work on. Georgia Tech also had their spring game, guys. Team Wreck'em versus Team Swarm. Haynes King is back. I like this Georgia Tech squad, and it has nothing to do with the spring game. I think that Brent Key's done a really good job, but he was talking about the importance of playing this game.
I think it's important to play spring games. You know, there's a lot of reasons behind it, you know, from external, from, you know, fans and, you know, student body and people around. But, you know, the importance is when you go out and scrimmage and you have people in stands and, you know, it's a different environment. And you don't know how you're going to scrimmage by the way you practice necessarily. You hope you do. All right. Well, then you don't know how you're going to scrimmage in a stadium with people in it, you know, as opposed to a stadium that's empty, right? Well, then it comes to play in a game. So it's just everything we're doing trying to shrink that gap between, you know, our preparation and playing in a game, and this is another step towards that.
Yeah, and in the NCAA, if you're wondering, like, coaches are talking about what the NFL does where you bring in a squad. Let's say, you know, they want to bring in another team to potentially play against instead of having a spring game. It has to be okayed. The NCAA has not done that. Syracuse tried to do this with Colorado last year, Mike. They were like, nah, y'all aren't doing that. So it's not as if you can have those kinds of, we're going to do a 2 or 3 day practice with the team and we'll do this instead of having our spring game, at least not yet.
Right. And that's perfectly cool for me. I mean, whether you want to do now, again, is it maybe a conference opponent that you don't play on your schedule or you want to bring somebody like Georgia Southern in?
Mm.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, is there something gained by that? Or do you go cross conference? I mean,
correct.
Could you, I mean, and by the way, would this take anything away from clean old fashioned hate if you played Tech?
I think it built.
I don't know.
I think it built more animosity.
Yeah. That might be something that's not even on the table. But by the way, we are going to, as you mentioned, talk to Brent Key. We're going to get the conversation later this week. But he's busy today, but we will talk to Brent about what he saw with his Tech guys.
Both Georgia and Georgia Tech spring games, though, went off without a hitch. And that's the good news. And again, we're learning more about these teams. Let's get to story number 3.
Story number three.
We mentioned it, the Hawks win, but didn't really matter, right? I mean, let's be honest. You're trying to prepare for the playoffs now in the play-in, but Quinn Snyder was talking about Keaton's triple-double, Mike. That was the high note for the Hawks.
I think what Keaton did, the reason that he did it is because of the way that we play. When you spend as much time as we have, you know, talking about playing with the pass, playing with pace, spacing, you know, second actions, movement, all those things on the offensive end. When you see a group come out and attack collectively, good things happen.
But as we said, guys, you know, no Trey in this game, no Wagner, no Bancaro, because, again, he's getting set up for the play-in. So, again, Carl said, when we take on the Celtics. I mean, look, there'll be some electricity around the Celtics, right?
There will be.
Some folks come down here. That'll be certainly some juice. And if you guys take it all the way back to, do you, anything is possible with Kevin Garnett, that was the year that, you know, it was Day-Day. Joe Johnson, Paul Millsap, I want to say. Was Millsap not there yet? I know it was Zaza. I know Josh Smith, I think, was on that team in 2008. And that's the one that took the Celtics to 7.
15 points, 11 rebounds, 15 assists for Keaton Wallace. That was what Coach was talking about. What's the approach, Quinn Snyder, as we get ready for the playoffs? And what about how the playoffs and the game itself slows down?
I know we need to run. A lot of the times we've lost, it's because we've turned the ball over and haven't got defensive rebounds. So that all makes sense to me. I think in a playoff situation, you're absolutely right. The game can slow down. And the key is to generate good shots, you know.
Yeah, and that's going to be key, Mike, because half-court sets and running your stuff and getting, you know, guys open and executing, it's great to run. But that's why the playoffs are different. And then when you start playing these better defensive teams, it gets harder.
Am I making too much out of the Magic front court?
No, not at all.
I just think that's tough for us. I just think Bancaro is just, he's really at another level.
Not at all. All right, man. Playing game tomorrow night. We'll talk plenty more about it. But when we come back, what is wrong with the Braves? Can you put your finger on it? What is the one thing that's wrong with this team? It's Dukes and Bell.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Back to work on a Monday. Day-Day, the brains behind the operation on the show. More on that coming up in Yeah Man, No Man. Our Big O, homeowner, is behind the glass. By the way, I'm done. Told Carl earlier, he was laughing. I said, man, that's it. No more yard work. This is it. Either the grass grows or it doesn't. I'm done. No more backaches, Carl. No more trips to the chiropractor. No more. No more ice packs. This is it. In the words of Carl Dukes, I'm not afraid to call somebody.
I'm not afraid to
call
somebody.
From here on in, someone will be called because I am done.
Look, are you hurting right now? Did you take some Motrin? What'd you do?
No, thanks to our good buddy. And again, we got a bunch of dudes over there at Georgia Hemp Company. But thanks to Joe, we call him Salami. And I'm on some stuff right now. Okay. Feeling pretty good, but not enough to make me sound as crazy as I was that day at the Brown Grass Golf Tournament.
Yeah, that was really good stuff. I don't know what that was, Joe. I will say this though, you.
I don't even know who Justin Thomas's brother. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
Their momentum movement was Frank Punt. That's what got a little juice for them.
That was great.
Stoned out of my gourd, legally, by the way.
Great. The best part, I remember saying back at the studio, we were at that event, and I said, Chris and Oren, are you guys hearing this?
Mike's not making
the
sense.
He is what he is. I mean, James Russell could be a guy that can do what he did at times against Minnesota. You know,
Jameis Winston?
What did I say? James? Who the hell is Jameis Thomas?
I told you you're feeling good.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Yeah. So for your kids out there, it's a gateway drug. And again, in my defense, we were at, I think it was like 5 holes left of the tournament, and we came across their tent.
I told you not to smoke that.
No, and I go, and the guy, I said, what do you got? And they had the pre-rolled joint, and he was like, this is basically for pain relief. I go, well, that's great.
It is. It's legal, by the way.
You know, it was before I lost all that weight, so my knees were, you know, I lost 30 pounds since then. So I took it from my knees and everything, and I'm like, then that happened. And I'm like, and then eventually I did sober. I had like 2 pots of coffee after that, and it got it back together.
It was great. It was great. But I was going to say this, and then we'll talk some Braves. You have a new appreciation for when you roll into somebody's neighborhood and you see how nice their yard is.
Yes. And I used to make so much fun of you when I lived in a high rise.
Yes.
And you, and I said, all you people in your gated communities and keeping up with the Joneses and all that. And I said, yep, now
I'm
that
when
guy.
When you have to go through what you just went through, the replanting, the trees and all that, and you drive down a street and you see somebody's yard, you almost want to applaud as you're driving by. You're like, oh, I know what that's like. Wow,
Right.
Thank you. I was
watering one of my magnolias earlier on Sunday.
Okay, this is ridiculous.
And then this little old lady.
What first world citizen is that, Mike Bell? Yeah.
Hey, man. I planted them. I didn't hide somebody. I dug the damn hole and I put the thing in there. But anyway, some old lady walked in the door. She goes, "Your yard always looks so nice." I go, "Can I give you a hug?"
Yes.
Because if you just knew what I did this last month. But the mission was to have it all done by Master Sunday.
And you did.
Mission accomplished.
And you did. All right, man. I'm glad you're feeling good.
Right. That's it.
In the hood. Feeling good in the hood. Coming up, guys, 4th and 1. Lots of NFL news, including what's going on with the Saints. Listen, I don't wish injury upon anybody, okay? But they got major problems.
Yes.
Major problems. And I'm loving it. So we'll talk about that. And also, this Shador Sanders thing will not go away as we approach the draft. That is all on the way here in less than 20 minutes. Mike, let's talk about what's going on with the Braves. Can you put your finger on what's wrong with this team? Or is it multiple things?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things right now. I mean, they don't function completely as a unit, save maybe one or like the four games they won, actually, out of all this season, where the bullpen works in concert with the starting pitching. The starting pitching doesn't just go three or four innings, and you get some clutch hitting. And they have not done that but four times all season. You know, and there were some certainly games they could have won against the Dodgers and Padres and, you know, it's just close games. But, yeah, 4-11, as Bill Parcells said it, and I think you can look at it through 15 games, our record is this is who we are. We're an incredibly inconsistent team that needs to find some clutch, and the star players need to perform like it. They're not doing that on a night-in, night-out basis.
So for those of you who are like, Deuce and Bellin ain't that bad, man, this is the third worst start in franchise history. You got to go back to 88 and 90, 2-13. This is the third worst start. We hadn't felt this way in a very long time.
Now, the only guy who I would say is doing his job, but just getting on base, and that's Ozuna. Riley has awoken. The sleeper has awoken. And then Sean Murphy, I mean, he was worth waiting for. He is batting at 263 right now. The one thing, and I hate to say this because everyone loves this guy, and we always love talking to him, Money Harris is not a leadoff hitter. Money Harris is not a guy that gets on base like he needs to at the top of the lineup when he's inserted there. So that's just something that, you know, you just, no blank, Sherlock, you miss Ronald Acuna, brother.
Yeah, you do. And this is why he is at the top of the lineup, because he is a spark. He gets on base. Now, he's not going to be stealing as many bases. I will tell you that right now, simply because there's no risk. We don't need to do that. When it is appropriate, I think he'll take some chances, Mike, but he's not looking to set the record this year when he gets back out there.
But is this, I mean, like, I know we've talked about it, and there was a time it felt like, well, Money, can he do this? Remember how he hit the ground running last year?
Yeah.
And they salvaged the wild card appearance, I should say. But Money Harris, he's just, man, he looks like everything that he should be as a leadoff guy, but just not there.
And by the way, I know people, you know, now as this thing starts to build, right, and you start thinking, okay, are we doing all the necessary things? Look, team fundamentally didn't change. Seriously. The team didn't change. As a matter of fact, to Mike's point, you're getting Strider and Acuna back, who you did have last year. Sale was unbelievable. He's not been that so far. I mean, the team, at its core, you still have Riley and Olsen and all these guys. Murphy's back. Money Harris. The team didn't change. Stop saying, well, what else can we do? You ran it back because you thought everybody coming back and healthy, Mike, this thing would look a lot different. And unfortunately, it has not.
Now, you miss – now, again, we don't know him because we didn't see him until last year. We said, oh, that Jerkson Profar batted 280. That looks like a guy we could – we miss him. Whatever he was going to be, we don't have it. Got to wait, you know, half a season for it because Kelenic is batting 162. You know, and he's just – I mean, you need better performance from, you know, from your outfield.
Well,
you know?
Speaking of that, and look, I know Chris Sale's not going to throw anybody under the bus, but I also think this thing went downhill yesterday in the first inning. For those of you who saw it, Kelenic had a throwing error, and they let their second run in, and it was almost like you just got punched in the stomach because you just felt, number one, like, okay, early on, Chris might be struggling a little bit. We're going to have to battle.
Right.
And then you make a mistake like that. And actually, Chris Sale was asked about it after the game, Mike, and he was like, look, it's nobody's fault but my own. And by the way, he took full responsibility.
Because he's a leader. He's a leader.
His performance yesterday, saying, you know what, I was not good. As a matter of fact, I think he used the S word. He said, I sucked, and I was not any good. I wouldn't expect anything less. But that moment, those are the things, Mike, when you're not playing well, and you have a throwing error, and you allow a second run in, that's what comes back to bite you. Like, that's the stuff that you've got to not have, and you've got to be able to execute. And I thought that hurt him yesterday, and that was from Kelenic. So on top of the fact that, you know, he's not hitting the way we want, but who is on this team? Like you said, the only guy that's getting on is Ozuna right now. So
right. So just hope, as we said, you know, Strider will bring some energy hopefully by Wednesday. And then eventually Ronald Acuna, and I just can't emphasize, and I think you feel the same way, he cannot get here soon enough.
No.
And but then, as you said, then you have to handle him with kick gloves if you do kind of ramp up his return.
Well, you let him hit. I just think, you know, on the base pass, you're going to manage him. And then if you're going to put him out in the outfield, which they are, he's got to play the outfield. There'll be some balls that are hit, Mike, and he's got to go track them down. And, you know, you just got to keep your fingers crossed that he doesn't take a weird step or something doesn't happen. At the end of the day, though, if he says he's healthy, the doctors say he's healthy, let's come back and play. And remember, my only thing is, after the first knee injury, he wasn't quite the same when he came back. It took literally getting into the following season. So I don't know if that experience is going to help him or if it's going to be a similar situation when we do get him back. 404-726-0929. It is Dukes and Bell talking about our Braves. And by the way, Chris Sale, if you're going, whoa, what about his pitches? His velo was up. His velocity was fine. His location was terrible. He wasn't able to put the ball where he wanted. And guys, when you do that, you give up six hits, you give up four earned runs, and you only last a four and a third, Mike. And you're not helping us, not giving us, you know, five, six, seven innings.
Right.
And that was the issue yesterday.
Yeah, that's the one guy that's going to be the backstop. You know, when things are, you know, hey, I'm going to take two out of three from the Rays, right? Nope, and Chris Sale doesn't have his A game. And as you said, he gets it. He owns it. I just don't know what Kranitz, you know, the pitching coach, can do to kind of help, you know, get him dialed in. Because Murphy is behind the dish. It's not like you can say Drake London is in there all the time screwing things up with his chemistry. Not that he would say that anyway. So, yeah, man, they're lost right now. It's just, as we said, you said it. We'll talk to Grant, what, 5:20?
Yes.
You're looking for answers. Just not good. Not clutch. There's no clutch. There's not one area of the team which is exceptional other than the designated hitter.
Yeah. And I don't know if you were paying attention or not, but the Cubs are playing the Dodgers over the weekend. That was the ESPN Sunday night game. Cubs are pretty good, man. I mean, they got a really good club, and they're in the mix here early on. Of course, a lot of baseball still to play. But I think once we start talking about 3, 4, 5 weeks of play, Mike, you start to realize kind of where you are. And this is the problem. Right now, we're 15, some teams are 17, 18 games in. We're still in last place. And so, right, you know, now we're going to start saying, all right, next week and then the next week. But right now, the Mets are playing well. They spent a lot of money. And, you know, the Phillies are in the mix, obviously, in the East. But the Cubs, the Padres, and certainly the Dodgers and the Giants are all really looked the part. We haven't looked the part.
No, we have not looked clutch. I mean, look, that was a shock to the system, as we said, with the San Diego and then the Dodgers. Dodgers kind of came back a little bit. They showed they were human. They lost a couple of games. But I'll tell you what, the Mets have put some win streaks together. The Mets have, you know, not having all their weapons. So right now, I just, you know, we know that, yes, it's way too early. But I still say you can look at the standings and go, my God, you're six games back. You know, you want to dig a 10 or 12 game hole?
Yeah.
And that's when Acuna is finally going to pop. The Mets have overcome a lot of injuries, not having all their weapons, and they've actually played some really clutch ball. They won 8 of their last 10.
All right, a couple other things that we are certainly keeping an eye out on, and that is because the NBA season came to an end. I just want to mention this because he was here. You see the Suns fired Mike Budenholzer. They say change was needed. 1 year, one season.
Hey, by the way, Carl, you coach these prima donnas. I mean, my God, these guys are the biggest, softest guys I've ever seen. Unbelievable.
You talking about Kevin Durant?
Do I have to name names?
Are you talking about Booker? And you're talking about Bradley Beal?
Soft as Charmin.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You think you're in the desert, you know, you toughen up a little bit. Nope.
Bud is fired, and this is, I'm not going to lie, now, they're screwed because they've got the highest payroll in the NBA. They're paying the super luxury tax, Mike. You got a guy on the team who has a no trade in Bradley Beal. Mm. I don't know where they go, but somebody had to pay the price, and I guess they felt like Bud was the guy.
It's funny because every time you hear about where AD and where the Mavericks are going, it always mentions Durant. Like, well, the Suns are like, we don't know anything about that. The Suns are saying we're not moving from Durant. And as you said, Bradley Beal, like, you can't move him if you wanted to. Bradley Beal and Paul George would be traded for each other just to see if the misery changes with the location, right?
No doubt. So that went down, and then the Pelicans changed. They fired their GM. My only thing there is, do you think Zion's going to be traded? Because they're going to get a new general manager, and I'm guessing the new general manager is going to look at what Zion has done since he became a Pelican and go, he's done nothing, and they probably are going to end up trading him. That's my guess.
That's just it. I mean, this, and we get guys all the time. It's so funny. Every time Carl and I mention, like on the text line, in the next 5 seconds, we got to get Zion. What are you looking at? No way. I can't keep Jalen Johnson on the floor. I need Zion and him missing 50 games every season.
He'll be good for the first 15 games.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
No, I mean, look, there was a time that Zion, remember when you joked around about we must get to Zion.
Yeah, because coming out of college, Mike, the dude was coming out of his shoes.
Literally, running out of his own Nikes. But now it's like, yeah, he's damaged goods, man. And again, I would have rather had Brandon Ingram, and he can't stay healthy really himself, but I thought he would have been a better fix for us defensively.
Number one selling jersey in the NBA, any guess?
Luka.
Yeah. Does that surprise you? Listen.
Is this the new shirt that has built-in fanny pack for putting your snacks?
No, I don't know. Do they make a shirt like that?
But you haven't seen new design yet.
The jersey like that?
It's called Nike City Lunch Edition.
Oh, City Lunch?
Yes, or brunch.
Oh, okay.
Depending on what time you wear. That's with pockets for your, you can put your, as you like to say, gummy bears.
Yes, in your pocket. That'd be great.
Why this rim shot? That's how you pronounce it.
He is fine.
Everyone knows you say gummy bears. Carl's in Germany.
That's correct.
You could take a lesson from Carl.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Virtual Luca. Hey, he was in Dallas all those years, though, seriously. Now he's got the top-selling jersey in the NBA. Right. You go to the Lakers.
Right.
Well, front runners. We know that, Mike. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people.
Of course. The same guys who wear the Cowboys jersey to a Falcons game and got their. They may have a Luka jersey now, Carl, in their repertoire.
We know who you guys are.
A Yankee hat.
But his 77 jersey was the NBA's most popular jersey for 24-25. So, and I love it. The NBA sold at NBAstores.com.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for the heads up on that.
Yeah, but I'm a little surprised only because. I guess that's that Laker bounce, man.
Right.
Going to L.A.
So Dallas plays Sacramento. We'll see what happens. There's no love lost between Memphis and Golden State.
No.
Although Dylan Brooks isn't there anymore.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of bad juju, so we'll see what happens.
All right, man. A couple of news notes there. We got plenty of NFL to talk about, though, coming up in our 4th and 1 segment. Oh, they got problems. And they can't fix it this offseason. I mean, they can address some of it. But the biggest problem is at the most important position. We'll explain when we come back on Tukes and Bell.